You're good.
We're good? We'll call the workshop to order here. First thing on our agenda is approval of minutes. We had minutes of May 1st and May 9th. Any questions, concerns, questions, corrections? Not entertaining motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions besides that? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I'm yes, motion carried. Now time for public comment. Public comment.
Get my book.
Public comment. Anybody want to step on down, sir?
Wow, not very quick of getting raising the hands.
Down you.
A little slow this morning.
Good morning, Rich Barrasso with Sarge.
Yeah.
I have two things. First, I want to compliment the council through this whole process. I think the openness, the candor, and the responsible nature in which you've gone about it.
Is the media here to report that?
No.
So the first item is I'm going to reference the future land use and the PowerPoint that was on the website. Just one point as it relates to the growth area, coastal areas, which you've designated as moderate community or opportunity areas. There's been a lot of controversy over environmentally sensitive development areas, ESDAs, over time, and I think that it's a good move that we're looking at that. Just want to be sure that going forward we understand where you list that that the suggestion for the creation of a new land classification called coastal area, which would replace ESDA, you referenced that the current ESDA classification language would still apply to these coastal areas with minor changes. So we're hoping to hear between now and when we publish what those minor changes are. It just seems that with all the controversy, if all we're doing is changing the name, making some minor changes, it kind of begs the question, are we addressing the public's concern? The second point is I think that, at least from our perspective, sitting here listening and participating, there's been really good progress made as it relates to consolidating the language from the drafts. And again, I think there was a fair amount of redundancy there, and I think that the council has done an excellent job, and obviously the work of the consultant in helping that process. But there are still hundreds of strategies that do remain. And what we're hoping for, and what we would encourage the council to do, is to really help set the expectations of the public. With that many strategies and the progress that's represented in the plan, what is the public's expectation in terms of what's going to happen and when? And I think it's critical that there be the identification of key priorities. And whether you identify the key priorities by each of the elements or you concentrate on the most important elements, that being land use, transportation, and conservation. Sarge believes that the fall public meeting is a perfect vehicle to clearly articulate what the public should expect, at least in the near term going forward. Again, there's been a lot of really good work done, a lot of good progress. You've really demonstrated that you're listening to the public, but what we want to make sure is that you don't set yourself up by over-promising and under-delivering, and I think a way to possibly address that is be real clear in terms of what the key priorities are, at least in the short term. The plan addressed a 40-year time horizon, a 10-year plan, but it would be good to understand in the first few years where your priorities are. So I appreciate the opportunity to come before you.
Will you be helping us by communicating that to your membership also?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, we're hearing that from our membership in terms of while this is a very broad-reaching plan, what are the key things they're trying to accomplish early on? And speaking from a SARS perspective, we'll help in that process with our network. So, again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Come on down, please. Yes, ma'am.
Uh-oh, bring in the laptop.
Didn't have time to bring it. I was rushing to get here.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Some of you have seen me before. I'm from the University of Delaware, and I've been working on renewable energies for the last 20 years. And we were extremely pleased to see that some of our comments ended up in the utilities chapter in terms of recognizing the high growth potential of some of the technologies that are where the costs are declining and the jobs are growing by leaps and bounds. We think that providing the right mechanisms and mentioning this in the economic development chapter could be a very interesting and productive strategic goal for the county. The transition is already happening in the electricity sector. As some of you may know, it's gone from moving from coal to natural gas in the last 15 years, and now all the utilities are moving to natural gas to a mix of renewable energies because they're becoming much cheaper, and also the public is demanding more clean energy in their choices. In cooperation with electric utilities and cooperatives, we have a very simple message. How can Sussex County reap some of the benefits of these renewable energy industries? And how can the comprehensive plan highlight these prospects for the future? You do mention wood for bioenergy as a developing market where it could provide landowners with another market. So we know that you've been thinking of different industries and energy. We would like to draw the Council's attention to the other energy markets that also deserve to be highlighted in this chapter on economic development. I just want to mention a couple of facts, and then I won't go into a long song and dance this morning because I haven't had enough coffee. In fact, we want to draw attention to specifically land-based wind turbines and solar installations. I provide a link from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Between 2016 and 2026, which is part of that time period of the Sussex County plan, the solar PV installer jobs will grow 105%, and wind turbine service technicians will grow 96%. Exceeding even healthcare workers, which I know is a focus of your economic development, that is going to grow at 47%. If I can try and emphasize those numbers, and I will provide that to your consultants. 105% growth in 10 years, and then 96% growth. And so we just want to bring your attention to that as maybe there are some ideas for Sussex County to take advantage of this. Besides the employment opportunities, we also have a lot of solid in-state education and training. Of course, I'm with UD, but DSU and Deltek that we work with. Deltek in particular has a solar program that is oversubscribed, and their folks are snapped up so fast they can't keep up with the demand. And those are jobs that are potentially in the Mid-Atlantic region. How can Sussex County position itself to reap these benefits? That's our main message today. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that Delaware is a small state, so you don't have a lot of land, and you have precious agricultural land use and coastlines. So we wanted to highlight the growing offshore wind energy market now along the Atlantic coast. This is a real market, 13 commercial leases up and down the coast. This market is about to take flight. And if you look at the map, which we don't have time to do today, you'll see Delaware is right smack in the middle of all of this development. The question is, how can, again, Sussex County position itself to take advantage of this burgeoning billion-dollar industry? The governor, in cooperation with DENREC, has convened an offshore wind working group, as some of you may know, to evaluate the options for buying offshore wind or setting up a procurement strategy for future purchases of this clean energy, which is a bit more expensive than some of the other technologies at this date. But it could portend a boom for the Mid-Atlantic if proper incentives and the procurement strategies are designed. Sussex County is strategically located between two large developments, New Jersey and Maryland, which are already approved. We have the wind resources off our coast and have developers interested, but the state is behind the eight ball. So Maryland has stepped up to lure these economic developments. Sussex County, we believe, would be good to include these ideas, or we will miss the boat. So with that, I won't go into the whole SRECs and REC market about how we incentivize companies, but they're buying the renewable energy outside of the state. That's the way it works right now. It would be great if the legislature now would say, let's buy some in-state, including in Sussex County, to provide those incentives for local siting of renewable energies that are cost-effective, and so that, again, Sussex County could take advantage of this. You could see there's lots of statistics that could be provided from Maryland and from neighboring New Jersey. So with that, I also would like to say that the goals are quite consistent with Goal 9.1 and 9.2, maintain and strengthen the economic base, and then encourage economic diversity and expansion, and I have some potential language for that. And I'll close with trying to link it also to ecotourism. We've been in touch with the tourism sector because ecotourism is becoming a thing around here, which is and a potential economic boon as well. And we know that people visit opportunities to see new technologies, and that's part of the ecotourism theme. If the county council sees these opportunities and believes these prospects are in the future of your economic development picture, we'd be happy to provide some language and statistics to back this up for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next. We should bring on down here, Mr. Baxter.
We shouldn't ask any questions, should we? Should we ask any questions when promotes what's going on?
Sure, here? Mr. Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Would you, I guess, ma'am, come back?
And he come back up.
I guess he wants to ask you a question.
You just asked.
Excellent. Be happy
just
to.
Just wait.
So what's wrong with coal?
There's nothing wrong with coal, sir. Coal is part of the utilities transition, but what we're finding is that the utilities are moving away from coal because of cost reasons. This is not choosing dirty over clean, which some people are in the country, but what's happening is that the cost of renewable energy has come down so far that it's competitive with coal.
You. I thought you were speaking against coal.
No.
I'm sorry? No, not at all.
I misunderstood you.
I'm not advocating for technologies. I'm advocating for economic development opportunities.
And now you said offshore winds. It's so
yes.
Important to this, for our state, for this county. Why is it so important?
Well, I'm saying it could be important if the community, if the leaders and the public believe that offshore wind is one of the opportunities they want to take advantage of. What we see is that there's a lot of activity all of a sudden. I've been following this for 20 years, sir, and I could tell you that the last 5 years has been a big change.
For the last 20 years, you know what? When you put off way out here in the ocean, you're going to have long cord run electric back in. When you run electric back in, you're going to lose a lot of voltage, right?
Well, that happens on land as well, sir.
So if we put it on land, it'd be closer to where the outlet would be.
Right. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to build new energy. You could speak to any of your utility executives about this. So they cite natural gas plants where they can. That's been the transition so far. But what we're saying is that because there's a premium on land, the utilities and the government that is involved with choosing technologies have challenges. So these leases have already been sold. In other words, what's that expression? The horse is already out of the barn.
I'd say we are putting back in a box, I think, sometime.
Yeah, well, that's not, Sussex County can
I hope Trump gets that done.
What's that?
I hope Trump gets it done.
What gets done?
Get the horse back in the barn.
Just say yes.
We're good. We're good. Thank you, ma'am.
Just nod.
Okay, yeah. Well.
Just so you know, we have recently approved a solar farm recently
yes.
here, just so you know that.
Yes, so that's one. So you could see what some of the benefits might be for some other of these technologies. And it's really just saying explore them. We're not advocating for one over the other, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the advice.
Now, Mr. Baxter, please come on up.
And be prepared. Sam's going to have a question for you.
I understand.
He's usually very capable of answering ahead of time.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Gentlemen, ma'am, my name is Jay Baxter. Officially, I'm James H. Baxter IV, And this is...
It's the fifth, I bet.
This is not the fifth.
Oh.
His older brother is the fifth.
Oh, okay.
So he's 3-year-old.
Is his sixth?
And I do apologize for the...
That's fine.
Whatever this may cause, but it's just one of those things. It wasn't done by any means on purpose, but it's going to work out for an excellent prop for me. So I'm here to talk to you first off as a father, as a family man, and second off as a farmer. And they both run hand in hand with me. And I'd like to bring it to your attention and go on the record as saying that there is not a farmer in Sussex County that supports ag-only zoning. That we'd like to see everything stay as AR1.
George, don't understand that.
And we'd like to see, we understand there could be some modifications that need to be done to that AR1 zoning, and we may have some suggestions, and we encourage the council to solicit some of that help from the ag community. We have some ideas for some programs which would give Sussex County control over conserving agriculture in open spaces. We feel that by encouraging landowners, i.e. farmers, to enlist in the state's program of selling development rights, you've given up a lot of your own rights as well. You've given away a tax base perpetually, which is not good for business, in my opinion. And by keeping that in-house, in the county, you guys have a better control over it. We have a suggestion even as far as making a 10-year plan, that if this doesn't work, it's only 10 years, and we can go back to the drawing board in 10 years' time, if some of you are still here, or the next regime may still be
George
here.
George will be here.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
What's wrong with coal? You just asked the question.
Right.
What's wrong with coal?
He's got a bug about coal. I know what it is.
He's getting AR1 land. He's getting AR1 land.
Please continue.
That's fine. So I need to reference a story in my lifetime. And I'm sorry if I get long-winded here, but and I don't know the exact date, but around 1995 to 1997, I came here with my father and my uncle, and my grandfather, who's sitting here in the audience now. And we enlisted the majority of our property of Baxter Farms Incorporated into the county's version of farmland preservation. We volunteered our land into farmland preservation for certain things that would help us to continue to farm. We did not sell development rights. And I remember specifically asking my father, as a 15, 16-year-old, so what are we doing here? What's the purpose of us coming to this very building and having this meeting and us enrolling our land that way? He said, because we are conserving our property, but we're not tying your hands. And I'd like that to be key, that my father and my uncle did not choose to tie the hands of their children.
Good answer.
My three cousins, my two sisters, and myself are now able to do what we want with our property. We're not tied to agriculture. Now, mind you, I love what I do. I love what I do as a farmer, and that needs to go on a record of me saying that I love what we do. But when we talk about being a father, we need to understand that I need to stay viable as a businessman. I need to have the opportunity to sell my products, the opportunity to diversify into certain things. And that alludes me to the next part of the AB zoning that was taken off of the comp plan. We encourage you to look at that again. Sussex County Farm Bureau testified that they were for an AB zoning during the drafting process, and Sussex County Farm Bureau is disappointed that that went away. We want the opportunity to diversify, if I repeat myself, to other opportunities, whether it be processing, poultry processing that we already see, that we want to see stay viable, or whether it be some type of vegetable processing, or whatever it may be. There's kind of a joke here. So whether it could be frog farming today, with the rain, and I compliment you all again for planning these meetings after heavy rains. It makes it a lot easier to come to the meetings and talk to you. Now, I don't wish that you continue to wish for more rain, because I don't really want to have to have the excuse to come here. But to reference your zoning code here, Chapter 115 on permitted uses, Section B, on 5 acres or more, agriculture, including horticulture, hydroponic, chemical, or general farming, truck gardens, cultivating of field crops, orchards, groves, or nurseries for growing propagation of plants, trees or shrubs, forests for tree farming, including the use of heavy cultivation machinery, spray planes, or irrigation machinery, dairy farming, or keeping or raising for sale of large or small animals, reptiles, fish, birds, or poultry, including the structures for processing and the sale of products raised on these premises, provided that, and it goes on. But go down to the subpoint of C. Structures for commercial poultry raising, including structures for storage of poultry manure and structures for poultry product composting, shall be located, and it lists off all these different things. But it permits agriculture, it permits all types of agriculture, poultry included, to be part of the AR zoning. And it's been said by Sussex County Council that they want to separate this out, and specifically separate it out to put large poultry operations in it. So by separating it out, you're taking something away from the already permitted uses. So what you're saying is that you're trying to restrict agriculture. You're trying to restrict something, and we as farmers, we as Sussex County Agriculture, are against Sussex County restricting anything that we already do.
Amen.
We have a hard enough time trying to carry our operations on to the next generations. And I'm so blessed to be able to be here today to talk about what we do as a family and what we do as a farm. And I'd like to be able to continue that on to the next generation. Thank you.
Got a question.
Thank you. Yes.
Mr. Cole.
The AR1, what's more important, the agriculture or the residential in the AR1 zoning category?
There isn't one or the other. It's all one zone.
Okay. Well, you just listed all these uses on a 5-acre farm.
Yes.
Now, I've got a place, I got 5 acres next door, and I'm looking for residential use of that property. Do you believe that on 5 acres you should permit all those activities you rattled off? I know we do it, and we had in the past, but just logically, mm-hmm. in today's world, as crowded as Sussex County is getting, do you feel that's not a conflict there? Because what you do impacts my land, what I do impacts your land.
Yes.
So I don't think it's even when somebody can just build a home, but what you can do on your 5 acres is, pretty dramatic.
Let's go about it. Let's answer your question this way.
Okay.
I think it is. So to answer you directly, I think it is good, and it is that it is good that it stays as 5 acres. What are you going to change the next step to is kind of the rhetorical question. Okay. But let me answer it this way. I'm not allowed to go and buy lots in a subdivision that would equate to 5 acres and build a chicken house. So people that come to Sussex County, or people that grew up in Sussex County and want to move to a more rural area of Sussex mm-hmm. County, they need to know ahead of time that, you know what, there could be the opportunity, being I'm next to 5 acres or more, there could be the opportunity that Jesse Vanderwin over here is going to go and build as many chicken houses on that piece of property as he can fit, because that's what he does for a living. Okay. It's kind of like me saying to you all that you should pass an ordinance that you can only sell your property to somebody that works for Sussex County, or furthermore, a county councilman. Would you like to be restricted in that?
No,
you understand my.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I personally think 5 acres is shouldn't be defined as a farm. Be honest with you.
Okay.
Okay. I also talking with the secretary last time we had a meeting. Mm-hmm. He's kind of intrigued. I said the proposal. I kind of suggested, and again, I've left it to the Department of Agriculture, and the Delaware Development Office with Connie Holland and that group to try to see if they could come up with something, because I didn't think when he rattled off the importance of agriculture to this county and that we allow any farm to be subdivided into two lots per acre. There's no other agricultural community in this nation probably that allows such a liberal, generous allocation for residential housing in your ag district. So you can't have it both ways. I mean, I know what you're saying. You got a family. I do too. My property is my bank. Where I own means a heck of a lot to me. I don't want anything to ruin it. Same way with your farm. But with this proposed zoning is we were going to take the ag preservation land that was already these people have given up these rights, already sold them, right? That's the ag district. Then there needs to be some incentives. I do agree with this. We need to take some things out of that list and say you can no longer do them in this agricultural residential district, because it is a residential district. We got to keep that in mind. I got to protect the people who want to residentially develop their land as well as agriculturally use land. So it's not, you don't favor one side over the other. And what we're not getting here today is the guy who lives out in AR1 land and built a nice home on, and years ago we had 5-acre parcels. So you have a heck of a lot of 5-acre parcels with nice homes on them. And, they're not here, but we're hearing you but there's two sides to the story. So there's some concern, but I haven't even seen what Connie Holland and Department of Agriculture have come down. But the feeling I got from the secretary was under what we do today doesn't protect the long-term viability of that important economic base we have called agriculture. We're having subdivisions plopped in the middle of some of our best farming areas. And it's because we encourage it. We encourage it. Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything to discourage it. And here's one last thing I'll say before I quit. I don't think the solution is to pay farmers not to do something, to get us to where we need to be. Because it's like education. I always get pissed off when I hear school board says, oh, we got all kinds of problems with education. Throw us more money, we'll correct it. So to solve the problems of the future of agriculture long-term in this county, and I want the Purdue companies, I want the Mount Airs to come here and locate. I want to be ag-friendly, but what we have is not ag-friendly. We got my side of the county, the chicken trucks don't even want to go down there anymore because it's so crowded. A lot of the grain, it's just getting worse and worse all the time because we've been so generous. So I think we can do something, but what we're doing isn't working.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You mentioned last week that you do want us to give up something. And
there might be some incentives.
And you've repeated that now.
Yes.
So you want me to devalue my property. You want me to give away my equity to the county. How hard is that for me to do business into the future if I've given away my equity to the county or to the state? I'm not going to accept that. That tells me you don't really care if I do carry on to the next generation.
No, I think there needs to be incentives to... Nobody would, under the scenario I have, if you have AR1 land, you have AR1 land. I just felt that because AR1 is a residential district, maybe what we're seeing in the Lower Eastern Shore with these large poultry operations coming in, major impact. Big hullabaloo down south. It's coming this way. We've got one, I think, already located here.
So
I don't know if that's in the best interest.
In 1985 and 1986... There's an old guy back here behind me that built 8 chicken houses.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. One spot. He would have been considered your nemesis back in 1985 or 86, now wouldn't he?
No, I'm not trying.
That created a 450,000 poultry capacity mm-hmm. in dead center of Sussex County when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Sussex County stood behind him. Sussex County has changed, and I understand that. Again, I'll go back to what I reiterated. I feel like you're talking out both sides of your mouth, and I definitely don't want to get into this match with you.
So please
feel it. Please understand. I respect you utmost, and trust me, there was a respect for a brother of yours. I'm pretty sure that probably still left some markings on my backside. So I respect Cole.
Good. Sam doesn't.
But understand that. That AB zoning has been taken off the table. If you want to keep agriculture viable in Sussex County, give us something to sell our products to. Give us the opportunity to grow ourselves into something different, into something diversified, and we will stay viable, and we won't sell our land, and you don't have to worry about how many lots we put on an acre, because we're not going to sell it.
That's key. If you make us viable.
A lot of you farmers have sold a lot of your farmland.
This farmer and his wife have bought two farms in the last 4 years, and we're buying farms. We're not selling farms. We're buying them. Okay. We're buying them for the next generation.
I like that.
And that's what we're planning to do, because we're planning to be viable. But you take away our vitality, you take away our ability to do business, we will sell. And you can't restrict all of Sussex County.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Correction. Just real quick, too. So for the people that are in the audience, I wanted to clarify one thing that Mr. Baxter said. Because I was at the commission when we put in the AB zones and worked on the maps. The map was taken out of the plan that council's working on, but the text that went along with that map about establishing the AB zones is still in here.
Okay.
It's been modified, and there's actually still a goal that says we should do it. So I just didn't want you to leave today thinking that had been
completely removed. I appreciate the clarity, and it was a miss of words, but the map's been taken off, and to the public, it looks like it's disappeared.
Yeah, no, and I get that, because you'd see the map, and you'd think, all right, well, it was there, where is it? That means the whole thing's been pulled out. That's not the case, just the map. And I think with council, they just kind of wanted to get a better feel for the map and to come back and revisit it later.
I think we all want to try to do something. It's how do we make it all fit? And again, like when you got all these residential uses in the ag district, in the AR1 district, how do you plop in one of these pellet turning, whatever, And as soon as we do have one of those applications, everybody in the area is opposed to it.
Correct.
Even farmers. So to create this AB zoning is difficult. To make it, a lot of it permitted uses is really extremely difficult in the AR1 district. So we got to create something new, and that's where this ag district, I was thinking, that's where a lot of these things we could have incentivized to put them there. And that doesn't mean you have to downzone to do it, but if you wanted to do something like AB, you could go there. So anyway, I'm done.
Don't let George change your mind.
Turn the microphone off.
He'll have you.
Thank you, sir. We've got time for one more person. Anybody else?
Thank you all.
Oh, RC, we got to let RC.
All right. Dude, no, it'll be, come on down.
Come on, both of you.
I know.
You got it.
Okay.
These two, and then you're done.
Just one clarification on something you said, Mr. Hall, about farmers selling land. I want to tell you from the personal experience, much of our operation is Eastern Sussex, and it is rented land. Mm-hmm. And we've probably lost a good 800 acres in the last 3 to 4 years. These were not farmers selling the land. It is land that is owned by families that are at least 2 to 3 generations removed from the farm. So there's a lot of land out there like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that is going to continue. So I think part of the solution has to look at that demographic group and what you can do to slow that loss down. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, property rights go to people like that and people like who are real farmers or something. So
correct.
We can't really distinguish between, if you own the property, whatever's allowed, you're allowed to do it. It doesn't matter who you are.
So, well, it's just that perception out there that it's farmers selling being developed.
Some have,
but I would venture to guess this is a very small percentage.
George, he's a farmer.
Pardon?
I said, George, he's a farmer.
Okay. All right. I just would implore you to look for solutions. Think outside the box. And I think there are people who are willing to work together to come up with suggestions, something viable to work for Sussex County.
But all I ever hear is, buy my development rights. That's the solution. If you want me to say the right thing, if the right thing is to protect it, pay me. And I don't like hearing that. I just think there's other ways we can do it, and that's where I'd like to hear some good ideas. And I proposed something to the Secretary of Agriculture, and he's talking to things, so they're intrigued by it, so we'll look at it.
Okay.
But what we do now isn't protecting long-term this agriculture community we have, which is
okay.
So important.
And I get that.
But
do you understand also the equity that's important to us as farmers?
We all got equity. Yeah. Everybody who owns a home.
I know, but in most cases...
My little postage stamp is worth more in Sam's farm. There you go.
See, George, okay. George wouldn't hang up talking to the secretary.
Anyway, I would just encourage you to reach out and...
I am trying to do something,
yeah.
And I'm trying to do something positive, and I'd love to have... get with the Secretary of Agriculture and different people and tell me how to do it. But what we do doesn't work. So there's got to be a solution.
Right.
I don't know how we got this far.
Or not a solution, but something that helped would help. So anyway.
Yeah. I just don't want to see the farmers be the ones who bear the brunt of the solution.
There's no intent to do that. None.
Okay. Thank you.
If George had his way, it'd be on our back. You can bet that.
God, Sam, please. RC, I'm in charge now. He left, so we'll have RC come up. There's been a coup. You all didn't notice it? It was a quiet coup.
I'm not against coal.
Thank you, sir. You'll be in good standing in this county.
RC Willen, thank you for the opportunity to speak to this issue this morning. I would also agree with everything that's been said so far by Jesse and Laura. A couple points I want to highlight to you again. I'm concerned because of some things that are currently going on between agriculture and the state related to other issues that I don't really need to discuss here, but I'm concerned about the county council offering its sovereignty and paying for it at the same time. When you transfer money to the state for the farm preservation program, and that land is then, that easement is purchased, basically the county loses most of its control over that land for perpetuity. As the county will ultimately expand in certain areas, that could be a challenge. In the Pacific Northwest, there are, which has been much more progressive in this area, not necessarily percentage-wise, but in developing green areas, they're now having to jump over 5 and 10 mile green belts in order to reestablish the development. What does it cost to then provide those services to those areas that are outside of that green belt area? When I was on the Sussex County Land Trust, we often targeted, and I fully support that organization, but when we sometimes targeted areas, we targeted areas that we felt were most threatened for development. I'm not so sure that that's always the wisest decision to make, because those areas are often contiguous to already developed areas. And so when you preserve an area like that, then you're having to jump across that area and that piece of land in order to provide sewer and water, and also to provide the other services that they demand. So I just caution the county as it looks ahead to be maybe looking a little further ahead than we have in the past, and understand what the implication is when you transfer land to the state, in essence. Under the administration, significant land tracts were purchased throughout the state, and that's been a good thing. Now the state finds itself in a very difficult position of being able to manage those tracts appropriately. And those tracts are having actually challenging circumstances develop on those tracts. The deer population, hunters not necessarily respecting the opportunity to hunt those as aggressively as they could, taking that opportunity. They end up, right now we're in a real fight with them as it relates to being able to stay in business just because of the consumption of grain by the deer herd in Delaware. That's a small thing, but that's an area. The greatest challenge for farming is always profitability, and you've heard that many times. The second greatest challenge is public intolerance and a desire by certain authorities in government, whether it's this particular venue here or others, to be politically sensitive and correct. What that does is it creates unspoken unfavorability as it relates to the climate for the poultry industry. Right now, we understand what's happening with Mount Air and even Allen's being challenged, being thrown into the same package. And I know you're going to speak to that, Mr. Cole, ultimately, but I'm going to acknowledge that we need to make decisions, whether it's the council or the planning and zoning or DDA or whoever the case may be. Decisions must be driven by science and technology, and not just because it may be an unattractive industry that's going to locate there. Without poultry, a 70-cent plus basis, corn basis here, would go to 50 to 70 cents under basis. That's a loss of $1.40 potentially per bushel of corn produced. We cannot stand that happening. That would not work. Our family would be forced to move from this area and relocate. That being said, I don't think we understand how perilously how perilous the situation is for the poultry industries. Right now, many of the integrators are cutting back on density. As you see these houses going up, they're actually cutting back on placements and reducing. I called one integrator on the shore here and said, we don't need any more corn, we're cutting back. So I think we need to understand that the industry as a whole is extremely vulnerable. If we were to have AI hit here, there would be no poultry industry coming back. Because once that happens, they will not rebuild here. They will not. They'll leave these assets that are mostly depreciated at this point, and they would move to other areas. The challenge then is, what will happen in the future if this county lost the poultry industry? What would you be looking at then? We'd have a lot of land preserved. We'd have a land base, but we'd no longer have agriculture as we know it today. You can't grow enough watermelons and sweet corn and fresh market vegetables. You can grow too many. We can't grow enough here that would be able to supply the United States and not have competitors coming in from somewhere else. So we have too much production in those areas. We need that balance in order to have crop rotations that will work. And I'll go back to something else that was said earlier. Mr. Cole, I don't think you'd be willing to give up your bank account for 20 or 30 cents on the dollar. Agricultural land, that's our bank account. And whether you believe it or not, I just filled out a balance sheet for farm credit. And on that, I listed the net worth of that property. They don't lend us money on the basis of our total net worth. They lend us money on the basis of our cash flow and our ability to repay the loan. However, if I take my farming hat off and put on my banking hat, then I would say that what they also look at is how quickly, if this thing goes south, this loan goes south, how quickly can I extract myself from that situation? And in doing that, they're going to look at the net worth. The net worth does make a significant difference. And when land goes into farmland preservation, it does impact the net worth on that balance sheet. That is, in my sense, a taking. I don't care what you say, it is. Now, if I voluntarily do that, that's fine. But you please do not try to do that through zoning. There are other alternatives. One of those would be, and I would proffer, that you consider your own program that you administer on a 10-year basis. I think it was alluded to a little earlier. Not for the kind of money that we've been talking about, but maybe it's just a stipend, just something to think about, where you would look at land and you and the farmer would agree to allow land to go in for a 10-year period of time. During that 10-year period of time, there might be $20 an acre, $30, just something as an incentive to do that. I know you don't want to pay for it, but somebody has to pay. In Europe, they pay hundreds of dollars an acre for farmers to be in business because they are not the least cost producer. We are not the least cost producer here. We can never achieve the cost. We can never achieve the cost efficiencies that they can in other parts of the world. And that's a fact. The only leg that we stand on is the fact that we're close to the Northeast market, the metropolitan regions, and so we can have a truck at a store in New York City in 4 hours with fresh chicken on it, or Maine, or wherever. We need to understand that it is not about preserving land here. It is about preserving the integrity of the farm operation through profitability. The perpetual nature of easements is the thing that concerns me. And so that's why I'm proffering to you to consider something at the county level that would allow farmers to participate in a 10-year plan. Then when your land use plan comes up the next time, you look at that same track. Is it in the best interest of the farmer and the best interest of the county to continue to have that in that land in a farmland zone or preservation? There needs to be a way in which the equity that's tied up in this land. I didn't ask Jesse if I could do this, but Jesse and his family purchased a piece of property near Seaford. And I'm sure it was not a cheap piece of property to buy. They didn't buy it because they could just make money off it on farming. They bought it for the future. And one of the challenges is that land inherently has value that would change if it was placed strictly in an agricultural district. And I know it's to be voluntary, but I'm not sure that there is any incentive that you can really offer us that's going to make it attractive enough. And I hate to see the county go through this program because I have not spoken to a single farmer that is interested in seeing an ag district per se. Now, the overlay zones are important. Thank you for bringing that out, because that was some information we didn't understand. And I would just appeal to you to consider the implications of your decisions in zoning changes and how that affects that agricultural land and the future of this county to adapt to change. There will be change. I don't expect to ever see the building boom that we've seen in poultry housing ever take place again on the shore. I'm not going to reference any basis for that because I think it would be improper for me to do that. I think it's been once and done. I don't see this happening. I think they all realize that the climate is not conducive to this, and they don't want the bad publicity any more than you want to have to deal with it. Let's be careful that we don't put ourselves in a box in the future that limits the farmers' equity, but also the ability to you, for you as a council to govern efficiently. Thank you.
Thanks. Wait, thanks,
I got appreciate it. Can I yes. ask you a couple questions?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Councilman Burton.
I just, that was enlightening, right? Because I don't know a whole lot about preservation or and I
farming
I, or far, farming I guess is a better word, and so I think what Councilman Cole has done is to elicit input from the ag community
right.
back to us, because with the exception of Sam, we're just not in tune,
right?
So we need your help to try and understand that. The ag preservation program to me was I looked at it as, okay, here's a farmer that's voluntarily saying, hey, I want to do this, so consider me. And I guess what you just said was it would behoove us to look, or the state, to look at contiguous ag preservation land so you could continue to build the green belt that we keep talking about in the land trust meetings. Is that kind of where you're going?
I think the land trust has a different focus.
And by the way, you're not off the land trust.
Okay.
We haven't officially accepted that.
Go ahead, continue.
Does it work with the ag preservation to look at tracts that are contiguous? Is that the way to not jump across with sewer and not to have to do that? Should that be the goal of ag preservation?
Well, I want to be wise here because I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to proffer a solution to this that's going to backfire, because if I'm the person who wants to put my land in farmland preservation,
I lost control.
There needs to be a sense in which that person has that right if they've already established themselves in a farmland preservation contract with the state for the 10 years. I guess I'm offering you an opportunity to think about doing this in a version in which you review it every 10 years rather than perpetuity. I think there's a real, I think the state's done a great job, and I applaud the accomplishment of DDA to accomplish what they have, and the governor and the state legislature. It's been a great program. There's nothing wrong with it. But we're beginning to see some things that are not comfortable for the ag industry here as it relates to some of this ownership of state land and some of the way it's managed.
But that's not the ag land, right?
It is. Some of it is ag land. Some of it is ag land. And there's not a lot of cooperate. They're trying. I need to go back on focus here.
Okay.
Let's just say that we are in a place right now where I think it's important for this body to be as wise as possible in the decisions that they make for perpetuity. Because I'm not sure that it was argued in the last meeting, and I think Mr. Arlette made this comment, that farming can stay here forever, maybe it can't. No, he actually proffered the statement that it might not last forever. In his lifetime, which he said, for perpetuity, which he said was his lifetime. I think that was a quote that I remember. I'm not sure what that future is. I'm certainly not as confident of it today as I was 30 years ago, even with farmland preservation. It doesn't have anything to do with the land. It has the ability to do with our markets and being able to retain those markets. I would welcome the opportunity to sit down with the staff to work something out. I don't think there's going to be a lot of sentiment that's going to be favorable from the agricultural community as it relates to the state planning office. I'm just the bearer of that message. I'm not the one who's proffering it personally. That's just the context I think you need to understand.
Well, what I try to do is dump it back onto the Department of Agriculture, because I think there was, I sense that Secretary Skew says, yeah, we need to be doing something for the future. So I said, okay, look, I said, I just had an idea sitting here. Take it up there and work it. So I would say, please work with them, because we're waiting for them to come back with maybe, here's what we could do, here's some ideas.
There is some thought. There is some thought. Yeah. Maybe governance at this level might be in a better position to decide what's best for this county rather than allowing us
to. I want to hear what they have to offer.
If you want a program that works, that will make everyone in the room happy, and that is the state of Maryland, Wicomico County being an example. Okay. You can pay $6,000 an acre for land that's right up against the city limits of Salisbury. In 24 months, you can get a check from the state of Maryland for $6,000. They basically are buying the land for you. And that's a very rich program. I can afford that program because I haven't sold my equity. I've been paid for the equity. I'm farming the land basically for free. It doesn't bother me then if it's in farmland preservation forever, because I have basically the society, the state, or the county has made a decision that this is how they want to do it. And I've encouraged Michael to talk to the Secretary of Agriculture in Maryland to find out how their program works and where the funding mechanism is. No one's going to argue probably if they're going to get dollar for dollar or maybe 75 cents on the dollar for their farm land preservation rights or easements. But to do it for 20 or 30 cents, or to do it in, I'm sorry, Mr. Cole, to do it for nothing, to have no cost to it.
I'm just suggesting everything would be, create a district and it would be voluntary to go into that district.
Right, and that will create the same challenge that I'm seeing in the Pacific Northwest.
If you go in, but RC, the way we do zoning, if you go into a zone, unless you've sold your rights, now if you go into this new ag district and haven't sold anything, years from down the road, you can come in for an application and zone yourself out. But there's certain incentives that we could do.
That's like I said, that's governance based on the political climate today, not the political climate or the will of the people 10 years from now or 20 years from now. And I don't see it being more accepting of changing zoning that is more restrictive to being less restrictive.
Mr. Willen, I believe what George is trying to say, he's like the camel, wants to get his nose under the tent like a camel does.
Well, I'm not going to judge Mr. Cole's motives. I understand the difficult situation the county's in regarding some of the requests that come before you and some of the challenges you're facing and some of the calls you probably get. But anyway, I would just ask you to consider these specific suggestions and grateful for the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Well, I see I leave the room for minutes, and George already half hour late.
I lost control.
I got to watch him.
No, I'm glad. No, I wanted to hear Mike from the ag community, and sure. It was a good opportunity. We had some good people here to share some things with us.
Thank you all for coming and participating and giving us your views. And I feel fairly certain in saying this, Mr. Coles had an idea. I think he's trying to flesh that out. And at the end of the day, that idea takes 3 votes. So we all have ideas that don't go anywhere. We don't get 2 more people to help us, maybe. But it will be something down the road to talk about some of these things. And it will probably be something I would think that Mr. Cole and all of us, whatever we do, would welcome the input of the farm community to be sure to be part of that conversation. So,
Mike here talks about 3 more votes. I guarantee one of them is not going to be mine.
Now, that is a shock, Sam.
There's a man with a closed mind. I hope all you farmers aren't blinders on.
George, you are going business for your farming yourself. You learned something.
My father was a chicken farmer. Then when the chicken houses burnt down, he went to DuPont's. That's my story.
Now we're going to move on to economic development chapter discussion. We're on